Next, we have our first feature. Richard Matthew writes and reads his regular history piece. This month, he looks at the Norwich handloom weavers in the 19th century.
By 1800, Norwich had been a major textile centre for some 300 years, providing employment for thousands of handloom weavers. While we know a lot about the trade and the huge variety of fabrics they produced, we hear very little about the lives of individual weavers. This feature describes the hard lives of some of these weavers in the 19th century. By the late 1830s, the industry was experiencing severe competition from other parts of the country, like Yorkshire, which were able to produce similar fabrics more cheaply on mechanised looms. During the 1840s, there was a large increase in the number of paupers in Norwich, many of them being weavers because of the low rates of pay and intermittent employment, and some were admitted to the workhouse. The stories of three weavers derived from census records, who all spent time in the Norwich workhouse, give us an idea of their lives. The first is Thomas Denmark, born around 1803 in St Julian's Parish. In the 1841 census, he is shown as living in St Clement, but by 1851 he is in the workhouse with his wife Elizabeth, shown as a silk handloom weaver, presumably because he was unable to make a living as a weaver. Later on, he became a member of staff in the workhouse, working as a cook and bread cutter. Our second weaver is Hannah Garrison, born around 1820. In 1851, she is in the workhouse, an unmarried mother of three children, and described as a silk handloom weaver. Later, she marries James Kemp, and by 1861, they are both silk weavers and living in St. Lawrence Lane. Her daughter, Elizabeth, was born in the workhouse, but died when she was just 1 year old. By 1871, their lives were improving, and both Hannah and James had adapted to mechanisation, as both are working as power loom weavers. Our third weaver is Harriet Spurgeon, born about 1827. By 1851, she is in the workhouse, listed as a silk handloom weaver. She is unmarried with a baby son who died soon after birth. She married in 1854, but is widowed by 1861, living in St. James Parish with five children. She marries again in 1875 to George, a coal porter, and dies in 1893. A report in the Morning Chronicle in 1850 gives us some more information about the housing and living conditions of two more weavers. The report starts as follows. The first person that I visited was a weaver residing in White Lion Court, St. Paul's. There were 12 houses in the court, of two rooms each. Immediately facing the entrance to the house was the privy, used by the whole of the inhabitants of the court. By the side of it was an open bin into which all the refuse matter was thrown. The contents of this open cesspool, oozing through the walls, were streaming sluggishly down the path, and part of this filthy fluid found its way into the house. As usual, the loom was in the upper room, which was used as a workroom, bedroom, and in winter, to save a second fire, as a sitting room. The weaver told me, "If I commence work at light and keep on till 11 at night, I can weave 11 dozen pieces in a week, and I should get 11 shillings and 11 pence for that, but I'm often obliged to play." This means unemployed. "I suppose for the last 12 months I've played 4 months at least. I am married and have four children. They are all at school. My husband sometimes works the other loom." The next person I visited was a fancy barège weaver, residing in Light Horseman Yard in Pockthorpe. The place was approached by a narrow covered passage leading into a square court with eight houses, some of two and others of three rooms. The place was disgustingly filthy, and the greatest care was required in stepping in to avoid the filth which abounded the place. The house in which he resided consisted of three rooms, one above another. The lowest room of the three was occupied by the eldest daughter of the weaver, who was married. The second room was used as a day room for the family, and a bedroom at night for the husband and wife and the two youngest children, one of whom was 6 months old. The upper room was occupied by the loom and was used as a sleeping room by the remainder of the family, eight in number. Upon neither of the beds was there any blanket. "There is but one in the house," said the poor man, "and that we have downstairs. Law, sir, the work is so irregular. All this week I shan't earn sixpence. They keep dragging me up to the warehouse day after day, and they always say, 'There's no work today, come tomorrow.' And so it goes on." The whole appearance of this family and of their house and furniture was of the utmost wretched and deplorable character. Norwich weavers were highly skilled craftsmen, with a reputation for the excellent quality of their work. During the 1830s and 40s, they produced the famous Norwich shawls, with a variety of beautiful designs, much favoured by the fashionable and prosperous elite. These reports remind us of the human cost of producing them.
Thank you, Richard.